you can get lost in just about any area of life. Folks, dreams don't just come true. There's a plan behind those dreams. If you were where you never planned to be, you're not sure how you got there, and you're really not sure how to get back to where you need to be. Folks, that is the definition of lost.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
Well, good morning, church family. Thank you, Glenn. It is great to see you here this morning. If you haven't already done so, look inside your program this morning. Take out your message outline. And as you do that, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been lost before? Raise your hand. Be proud. Okay, if you're not raising your hand, you're not telling the truth, because we've all been lost. Every one of us, we've been lost before. Maybe it's while we're driving or hiking. Maybe even when you're trying to find your car in a shopping mall parking lot. This is a true story. This is out of Sarasota, Florida. True story. An elderly Florida lady did her shopping and upon returning to her car found four males in the act of leaving with her vehicle. She dropped her shopping bags. She drew out her handgun from her purse. Don't go to Florida, okay? She drew out her handgun, proceeding to scream at the top of her voice, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car!" The four men didn't need a second invitation. They got out and ran like mad. The lady, somewhat shaken, proceeded to load her shopping bags into the back of the car, got into the driver's seat. She was so shaken that she could not get her key into the ignition. She tried and she tried, and then it dawned on her why. For the same reason she didn't understand why there was a football, a frisbee, and two 12-packs of beer in the front seat. A few minutes later, she found her own car parked four or five spaces further down. She loaded her bags into the car. She drove to the police station to report her mistake. The sergeant to whom she told the story could not stop laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four pale men were reporting a carjacking by a mad elderly woman described as white, less than 5 feet tall, glasses, curly white hair, and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed. The moral of that story, if you're going to have a senior moment, make it memorable. Make it memorable, okay? She did that. She did a great job of that. We've all been lost, but there is a difference between getting lost and being lost. When you're getting lost, you don't know it. And then all of a sudden you realize, I'm lost. I'm absolutely lost. You're lost. You don't know where you are. You don't know how to get to where you want to be. And you don't even know where you are in most cases in that when we are actually lost. It's kind of interesting, though, when we start out, before we get lost, we start out knowing where we are. And we are very confident in where we want to be, where we're going. And unfortunately, in spite of our assurance and our confidence, we get lost anyway. Here's the first fill in the blank on your message outline this morning. Self-assurance and confidence are not guarantees you won't get lost in life. Self-assurance and confidence are not guarantees you won't get lost in life. Some of you may think, you know, I am so confident, I am so self-assured, no way, no how I'm going to get lost, and we wind up getting lost anyway. This morning, I'm going to share with you four principles I hope that you will take with you when you leave today. Here's the first one. You can get lost in just about any area of life. You can get lost in just about any area of life. You can get lost morally speaking. Most of us, as we entered our teen years, our 20s, we had in our mind, we entered that with confidence as far as what was right and wrong as it related to sex. Some of us got some bad maps that we began to follow, and later on, now we're dealing with some guilt that won't go away maybe on that. We're in a mess, and we wonder, how on earth can I get out of it? How and even where do I need to be, so to speak? You can get lost professionally. You can go to school, get your degree, and when you went to the interviews, you went with all the confidence in the world, but 12 years later, you have not grown up to be who you wanted to be. And you're kind of wondering, I don't know how to get to where I want to be. I don't know what to do, so to speak, on that. You are lost. We can also get lost relationally. Maybe you've been dating and you look back on 3 or 4 broken relationships. They all ended the same way. There is a pattern. You are lost. You are lost. Maybe you're married and here today and you would say, my marriage, you look at it and you say, it was great when we started out. It was awesome. But here we are years later and we're nowhere near where we want to be. You can be lost in your marriage. In the next few weeks in this series entitled Lost, we're going to be looking at what does it mean to be lost in the realm of our personal finances. What does it mean to be lost in the realm of our personal finances? Because if the statistics are true in America, more than half of Americans are lost in their finances. They do not know where they're supposed to be. They make a lot of money for the most part, feel a lot of pressure. They're not sure if they're moving in the right direction. Will there be enough at the end when I really need it type of a question? They're working hard, but they are lost financially. Look at this next fill in the blank. In all the realms of loss that you, all the realms of life that you could get lost in, your personal finances should be the easiest not to get lost in. There's no reason for us to get lost in our personal finances, yet half of Americans are. There's no mystery about it when it comes to our money. Why? Look at the next fill-in. You know how much comes in, don't you? Now, I know some of you may work on commission, so it may be a little fuzzy, but for the most part, most of you know how much is coming in. If you don't, we've got bigger problems, okay? You know how much is coming in, and you are the one who send it out, wherever it goes. You send it out, but there's this fog surrounding our personal finances type of thing, and it creates incredible pressure, and it creates incredible conflict in relationships. In fact, it is over money. Over finances, it is the number one cause of marital discord. Over finances, the number one cause on that. I want you to understand this. Look at this fill in. Being lost financially has nothing to do with how much you make. Being lost financially really has nothing to do with how much you make. Now, I've got a picture of a guy that I want to show you, and let's just see if anybody recognizes this athlete. If you do, you're a little bit old school. He's obviously an NBA player. This guy played several years ago in the NBA. His name is Latrell Sprewell. And we'll just leave his picture up there for just a moment. Latrell Sprewell. He spent 13 years in the NBA playing professional basketball. He was a very good basketball player. He averaged for his 13-year career 18.3 points. That is really good. I mean, that's borderline. You maybe even talk about Hall of Fame type of a deal on that. Played for 3 professional teams, the Warriors, the Knicks, and the Timberwolves. His last season was 2005. He was in the last year of his contract with the Timberwolves, with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he wanted a contract extension. He wanted a mere $14 million a year to continue playing basketball. The Timberwolves countered and they said, we will offer you 3 years, $21 million total. So $7 million a year they offered him. This is where many of you may remember Latrell Sprewell, because he came out with this infamous statement when he was offered a mere $7 million a year to play professional basketball. I can't feed my family on that. You remember that guy now? I can't take care of my family on just $7 million. How many of you would say, I would love to feed my family on $7 million a year? Well, you know what? The Timberwolves said, well, fine, you're not playing here. And guess what? Nobody else wanted his act in town either. He lost his career. It was his last year he ever played. In his playing career over 13 years, he made $100 million. He lost it all. When he declared bankruptcy, he declared $50,000. $100 million, $50,000. In that process, he also lost his family as well. It doesn't matter how much you make. You can get lost making a little, or you can get lost making a lot. If you're not sure, and by the way, the question we always ask, do you ask us at the end of the month, where does it all... Oh, you asked that. Where does it all go? Where does it all go? If you're not sure if you're lost or not, let me just read some of these to you, and this may help you determine if you're lost or not. You know you're lost financially if you spend more than you make in a year. You're lost. You are lost if you don't know if you're spending more than you're making. You don't even know. You are doubly lost on that one, okay? You're lost if you owe more on your car than it's worth. You're lost. You say, how did that happen? Well, you drove it off the parking lot, okay? That's kind of how it happened on that, and you only paid the minimum down payment. Look at this next one. It says you are lost if you're just paying the minimum on your credit cards. You're lost. You are lost if you think paying the minimum on your credit cards is good financial planning. Okay, you are really lost on that one. Somewhere along the line, some people came out with some great financial advice. Max out your credit cards, just pay the minimum. And you know, there's actually people who live in our society with that kind of financial pressure. And you know what they think often? Oh, everybody does this, don't they? No, they don't. Thank goodness they don't. And I hope you don't on that. Here's a couple more on this. You are lost when you have a financial dream, but you have no plan. You're lost. You're lost. This is when you kind of say, you know, you're early in your career. Oh, I'll get to that one day. When I'm 25, I'll address that. Then you get 25. When I'm 30, when I'm 40. Then you get in your 40s, and all of a sudden you start thinking, how much longer am I going to be able to work? And then you start thinking, well, I need to start doing some things, you know, to get to where I want to be on that. Folks, dreams don't just come true. There's a plan behind those dreams. Here's another one. You are lost when you have no method of tracking where your money goes. You are really lost. Again, you seem like, I make plenty of money, but where does it go? If you don't know where your money is going, folks, how can you get to where you want to be? It's almost impossible. And then just two more here. You are lost if you are making financial decisions and you hope your spouse doesn't find out. You're lost. And then last one. You are lost when you're making decisions and you hope the IRS doesn't discover them. You are jailbound lost, all right? We don't have a prison ministry and we're not looking to start one, so we don't want to come see you in prison. So hopefully that doesn't apply to you when it comes to your finances. Look at this next fill in the blank. Here's the definition of lost. If you were where you never planned to be, you're not sure how you got there, and you're really not sure how to get back to where you need to be. Folks, that is the definition of lost. The definition of lost. And it's why we're going to spend 5 weeks looking at this incredibly, incredibly important topic. And let me just say this. If you are not in a small group, there is never a better time to join a small group, because you're going to be talking about these things we're talking about on Sunday morning. It will be great encouragement to you. Sometimes you're going to hear some stories and go like, hey, we're not as bad as we thought. But you're also going to get some great insight as other people share with you maybe some of their struggles, but also how they got past where maybe you are on that. So I want to encourage you to do that. But there's also another reason why we're looking at this. It's more important than even the first one. Here's the second principle I hope you'll walk away with. You and I need to understand that if you are lost financially, you cannot wholeheartedly follow Jesus. If you are lost financially, you will not be able to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. In other words, it's impossible for you to say to Jesus, here I am. Here I am, Lord, whatever you want. I'm committed to you. I'm surrendered to you. You cannot follow Jesus all the way and remain financially lost. You can't say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Can't say that. If we remain financially lost, we almost become what John, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote about in 1 John 4:20. This is on your outline, so on the screen. John wrote this, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And the reason that we say that you can't wholeheartedly follow Jesus if you're financially lost, look at the next fill in the blank. It's because Jesus said too much about money. He said way too much about money for us to say, I'm a wholehearted follower of Jesus, but I am lost financially. If you took everything in Scripture that we have that Jesus said about salvation, about heaven and hell, now those are big things, right? If you took all those and combined them together, they would not come out to even equal what he said about money. He said more about money than those three items combined. So you can't say, I can't say I'm sold out to Jesus if I only know and follow about 50% of what he actually says. And then Jesus came out with a very interesting statement when he said this. This is in Matthew 6:21. Again, on the screen, on your outline, Jesus put it this way. He said, for where your treasure will be, he also said, there will be your what? Your heart. There your heart will be also. The next fill in the blank goes like this for you. Where we send our money, this is what Jesus is telling us, where we send our money, our attention follows it. Our attention follows it. If you buy a stock, you buy an individual stock, you may not even know all that company does. You hope, though, they certainly do better, right? You hope the stock goes up. If you find yourself constantly, frequently looking at that stock, let me tell you something. Those three little letters that represent that stock that you own has a piece of your heart. It has a piece of your heart. And look at this next fill-in. In a very, very real way, the condition of our personal finances, folks, it is a reflection of what's going on in our heart. It is a reflection of what's going on in my heart. Why? Because my heart follows my money. My heart will follow my money. And so if your personal finances are out of whack or you are lost, your heart will be mixed in there with that. Your heart will be mixed up in with that lostness. So how can you and I give our whole heart to Christ when it's involved in an area that's upside down, that is totally confusing to you, that doesn't make sense? You are lost. You are lost. And then Jesus, in another time, speaking to his disciples and some other people, made this comment, and how true it is. Look at what he says in Luke 16:13. Jesus said this. He said, "No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And then he gives us a conclusion. Look at what he says. You cannot serve both God and what? Money. Now, let's just take for a moment, if I had not given you that verse and showed you that verse, and I just said, complete this sentence, you cannot serve God and blank, what would you have said? Probably the devil. Because we say the opposite is God is Satan, right? So you can't serve God and Satan. Jesus didn't say that. No, he said you can't serve God and money. Why on earth would he say that? Look at the fill-in. Because money is a spiritual issue. Money is a spiritual issue in our lives. 1 Chronicles 29:11. In the Old Testament, we find a great reminder. In fact, I would ask us, let's read this verse out loud together from the screen, please. Yours, O Lord, hey, read with me, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Last phrase, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Everything in heaven and earth, God, it belongs to you. So you know what that's telling us? All that stuff that got us upside down financially, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. So how we handle our money, how we handle our stuff is indeed a spiritual issue. You and I cannot separate our devotion from God from how we handle our money. But so often we will find ourselves focused on our stuff, on our money, and we will even say, God, help me. God, help me fix it, help change it, make my stock go up. It's easy to pray about our finances and become servants to our money and then try to get God in on our deal. Now, let me just ask you this. If you lost everything you had financially, would you pray and ask God to help you? Say yes. Yes, and you should. We should. I'm not saying don't pray about our finances. We'll clarify that in just a second. If you lost everything financially, you would pray to God. And I would too. God, help me. God, bless me. God, provide for me. And we would go and say, God, I surrender everything to you. Now, I want you to imagine a conversation you might have with God if that you lost everything and you came to God and said, you know, God, I surrender everything to you. And then God may respond this way, but you don't have anything. And you would go like, well, yeah, that's why I'm surrendering it all to you, because I don't have anything. And then maybe God might look at you and say, that's kind of easy now, isn't it? Well, yeah. I mean, you're basically telling me to take your debt. You're basically telling me to take the consequences or you know, somehow deal with the consequences of the bad financial decisions you've made. And you want to surrender it all to me now, right? That's a big sacrifice. And maybe we might look at God, or maybe he might say this to us. Why weren't you willing to ask me into your finances before all this happened? And if we were honest, we'd probably have to say, because I was doing okay. I didn't need you. And now I need you. Look at this next fill in the blank. Here's a challenge for us today, wherever you are. Why not invite God into your finances now? Before anything bad happens. Why not invite him into your financial aspect of your life now? We say, well, wait, Pastor. I give God his due, and I give my money my due. You know what Jesus said about that? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. It doesn't work that way. If you are lost in the realm of your stuff, your heart is going to be lost in there with it. It's impossible to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus and be lost in our finances. Now, here's the deal. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you center your life around following Jesus. You build your life around what he says, his principles and his teaching. You will get something so spiritual in your life that you will finally realize that your spiritual aspect of your life, your financial aspect of your life, they are indeed linked. This is the one aspect of my life personally, and Janie and our relationship. This is the one aspect of our Christian life that we have been more faithful in than any other. Let me personalize it. I have been more faithful in my finances in relationship to God than I have in reading my Bible. I have been more faithful in this area of spirit of finances than I have in praying. For whatever reason, when I first became a Christian, somebody told me, I was 18 years old, I was working at the public pool as a lifeguard. Somebody says, you know, you ought to honor God with your finances and give 10% of whatever you make back to God. I just said, okay. We've done that all our lives. We've done this. And some of you may look and say, well, you know, Pastor, you just told us about a vacation you took. It wasn't that long ago, you took another vacation. Things seem pretty good, Pastor Ross. You know, I've been working here 30 years. I get 4 weeks of vacation a year. I'm now using every day. And I'd take more if I had it. I do. Pastor Ross, where you live? 2 minutes away. Nice home. Beautiful neighborhood. I live in a home that I never dreamed I would live in. Never. Pastor Ross, nice home. Wow. Doing pretty good there, aren't you? Pastor Ross, nice car. Those of you who know me are going like, no, don't check that box. Look for the 2004 Toyota Camry that's oxidized. You can't tell what color it is anymore. That's my sweet ride, okay? My wife drives a nice car, though. She drives a real nice car on that type of a thing. You look at that and you go like, wow, Pastor Ruff, man, you guys, like, you're doing good. You know what you haven't seen? How we lived. We've been married 36 years. You didn't see the first 30 years of how we lived. We didn't take nice vacations. We took a vacation. It generally was to go home and see family. That was vacation. We didn't necessarily live in a big old nice house, so to speak. We didn't drive really fancy nice cars. But let me tell you what we did through those 30 years and what we continue to do today. We've applied these principles that we're sharing in this series with you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm saying this not to say look at me. I'm saying this to say this to you. They work. You want to stay out of financial trouble? The Bible's the best financial book you'll ever read. And we're going to be talking about these principles in this series. Here's the third thing that I hope that you'll get and walk away from this morning with this. I want you to know something. I want something for you. I'm not looking for anything from you. I want something for you, and here's what I want. I want you to be free so that you can do whatever God prompts you to do in your life. I want you to be free that you can do whatever God prompts you, whatever he calls you to do in your life. As you grow in your relationship with Christ, there are going to be things that God will prompt you to do. He will put something on your heart that he wants you to do. And if you are not financially free, many times you cannot follow God's leading in your life. And some of you will know this and you'll say, hey, I wanted to go on the last mission trip we had down into Mexico. I wanted to do that, but I couldn't afford to go. I couldn't take a week off of work to go. I couldn't do that because I wasn't financially free. Maybe even just recently with all the disasters that have hit the East Coast of our country, said, well, I really wanted to give to help those families. I feel for them. My heart goes out to them, but I don't have it. I don't have any financial margin to give to them, anything like that. Maybe God wants you to take your career in a different direction. Maybe it required going back to school. You say, well, I could never do that. I just can't do that. Maybe God may put it on your heart to start some type of a nonprofit where you could really make a difference in helping some people in our area. And you say, I simply could not do that. Look at these three bullets. Here's what I want for you. I want you to trust God with every area of your life. I want you to be able to trust God with every area of your life. The interesting thing, though, is this. So often we'll give our marriage to God. We will give our kids to God. We will give our career to God. But usually the last thing, the absolute last thing we will ever give God is our finances. I don't understand that, but that's so true. Here's the second bullet I want for you. I want you to experience God's faithfulness financially. I want you to experience God's faithfulness financially. I want you to experience something in your finances where you go, there is a God. There is a God. Because something would happen in your life that there is no other way to explain it than God. God did that. There's no other way to explain it. It seems like God will show up in our finances in a more tangible way than any other because there's that direct link with our finances and our heart. And then here's the third thing. I pray for you. I want you to be financially secure. This doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily make boatloads of money. You can be secure with a little or a lot. But I pray that you're not worrying every month, can I pay my bills this month? I pray that you're not worrying, can I one day retire? Will I have money to retire on? I pray that you would never, ever have to worry. Do I have insurance? Can I even pay for my insurance? I pray that you would be financially secure. You know, one of the things that bothers me, You know, I'm a fast food junkie, so to speak. I go to fast foods quite a bit. And I hate it when I walk into a fast food restaurant and I see a senior citizen working at McDonald's. That bothers me. It's like I want to go and say, what are you doing here? Was that one of your life goals that when you were 65, 67 years old that you get to work at McDonald's? I don't think so. They got lost financially most of the time somewhere along the way. Some can't help it, circumstances. And I doubly feel for that. But some, it was just bad financial decisions. Got them there. Proverbs 21:20. The wisdom writer says this, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Oh, listen to that. If we read that from the New Living Translation, that last phrase would say this, but fools spend whatever they get. The wisdom writer says, in the wise man's house, the wise woman's house, there are extra, there are stores of these food products, he's saying on that. But our culture teaches us, our culture here in America teaches us to devour all we have, then borrow so we can devour some more. That is the MO of our culture, so to speak. I want you to be a wise person, regardless of how much you make, that you don't feel like you've devoured it all. I don't want you to feel more financial pressure now than you did 5 years ago when you made less money. And if that's true, you say, hey, I'm making more than I've ever made. I've never felt so much financial pressure. Chances are you might be lost financially. And that's why you're feeling that kind of pressure. Then I want you to understand this. Look at this next one. Like, God wants you to be content. God wants you to be content. I was listening this week to Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, you know, we do Financial Peace University. We got all kind of classes that we offer through Dave Ramsey and his organization. In fact, if you like to listen to the radio, AM 1700, it's ESPN Sports Talk Radio, okay? But from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock every weekday, Dave Ramsey's on ESPN 1700. I invite you, if you're driving around, listen, just listen to him. Just listen to some wisdom there. It will greatly help you, greatly help other people. This week I was listening to him as I was driving around, and he made this comment. He said, the number one reason people get in financial trouble in America today is this, a lack of contentment. A lack of contentment. We've never learned to be content. And the Bible talks so much about this. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Look at this powerful, powerful statement that Jesus made to us. He said this. He said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And we say, well, I'm not greedy. And most of you, we're not. Most of us are not greedy. But notice what he says. A man's life does not consist in what? The abundance of his possessions. You know what he's telling us? Life, real life, is not made of the stuff that you and I own, that we value so much. He said, that's not real life. And if that's what drives you, you will never be content because there's always something else out there that you want. Look at this next verse, 1 Timothy 6:6. Paul, the great missionary, writes this, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. You want to be wealthy? Follow Jesus. Follow what he teaches. You'll be wealthy beyond measure. Then Hebrews 13:5. This is from the Message. The Message is not a translation. It is a paraphrase. But I love how they have paraphrased Hebrews 13:5, and it reads like this, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God has assured us, I will never let you down, never walk off and leave you. Contentment, true contentment in life comes by living life God's way. I wish I had a magic box. That I could walk around with my magic box and it would have a button on it. And every time when I see my neighbor and they get that big, shiny new car and I'm looking at my 2004 Toyota Camry, I wish I could just press that little contentment button and say, you know what? I am so happy for you. It is awesome, but I'm content. I wish I had that box when I would go to the mall or one of those big box stores. And I would see something, and it would be saying to me, buy me, Russ, buy. by me. You need me. I wish I could just press that contentment button and say, I'm good. Ladies, I wish you had this box. And when you walk in the mall and you walk in Macy's and you go buy all those dresses and they're going, ooh, girl, stop for a moment. Ooh, look at you. Honey, who dressed you this morning? Look at that thing on you. That is so old-fashioned. That is so not you. That is so, you need me. Buy me. You could press that button and say, you know what? I'm content. And you know what we'd want? We'd want our children to get that box and say, you mash that button when you feel that way. I wish there was some little magic box that we had that would help us when those things come up in our life. But instead, we visit our neighbor's home and we go, honey, they got 12-foot ceilings in here. We only got 9-foot ceilings. Did you see that crown molding? Oh, my gosh. We don't even have crown molding, honey. Did you see that kitchen? Oh, wow. That island? Oh, wow. Did you go in their bedroom? We could hold our small group in their walk-in closet. It's that big. I mean, it's huge. Did you see that type of thing? And we just said, you know, wow. We want to drive better. We want to live better. Please hear this, because we're going to say this several times throughout this series. I am not saying don't enjoy your stuff, because the Bible says you should enjoy your stuff. I'm not saying you should not improve. You should never upgrade. I'm not saying that, but we cannot be driven by that. That's what I'm saying. If that's our driving motivation, folks, we are climbing up the wrong tree. And then here's a fourth principle I hope you'll walk away with this morning. You cannot get unlost until you know where your money is going. You cannot get unlost until you know where your money is going. In other words, it is impossible to get unlost financially unless you track your spending. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 and 24. The wisdom writer says this, riches disappear fast. How about non-riches disappear fast? I mean, it all disappears fast, doesn't it? But then he goes on and he says this, the king's crown doesn't stay in his family forever. You know what he's saying? Your dad's the king, making the big bucks. It ain't always going to be that way. He's not always going to be the king. So you know what you better do, Junior? You know what you better do? Watch your business interests closely. Because dad's not always going to be there. Dad and mom, they're always going to be the king. Then notice what he says. Know the state of your flocks and your herds. That's how wealth was accumulated when this was written. How many cows you got? How many sheep you got? That's how you would tell people how rich you were. And our time today would be this. You and I have to know our finances. I have to know what comes in. I have to know what goes out. And I have to know where it is going. So here's the challenge for the next 5 weeks. And I'm serious when I'm asking you to do this. Look at this. Fill in the blank. I want you to write down where all your money's going for the next 5 weeks. Write down. If it's over a dollar, write it down. Serious. That's the only way you will ever know where your money is. It's all right here, Pastor Russ. Let me tell you something. Your brain isn't that big. You don't know where it's going. You do not know where it's going until you write it down, until you track it. Got a couple of resources for you. If you're looking for just, if you're old school, you want to just write it down. I've got ledger sheets out in the lobby on the pub table. There's a stack of them. You take as many as you want. Ledger sheets. If you're high tech, go on DaveRamsey.com, click on the top, tools, select every dollar budget tool. It's a free downloadable app, and you can track it on your phone. Right on your phone. How easy can that be type of thing? Every dollar money, Dave Ramsey on that. But I am asking you to track your money. You know why? Because here's the number one thing we say at the end of the month. Where did it go? If you track it, you'll know. You'll know exactly where it is going. Fill in the blank goes like this. Last couple of fill-ins. If you don't know where your money is going, it's your fault. It's just your fault, because no one erases our memory at the end of the day. U.S. history test, January 9th, 1982, what happened? Nobody ever gets this. What do they teach in schools? That's the day Janie and I got married. Come on now. You knew that, didn't you? And it was before the fall of that year when we were getting married, we were engaged. I did my first ever tracking of my finances. And I wrote down, I was in seminary, I was in graduate school, and I wrote down every nickel I spent. And you know, at the end of that first month, I was shocked out of my mind. I spent, this is back in 1981, I spent $37 that month at McDonald's. Now, I know you're saying 37, I spend that in one time. This is 1981, folks, when a meal was like $2 or something like that. If you had asked me how much you spend at McDonald's, oh, $15, $20 maybe. I spent $37. And then after Janie and I got married, we developed our budget together. We developed our budget, and we began to live that out. We worked on the envelope system. We had categories. We had our big budget for monthly expenses, but we had envelopes for our food and our car, our gas, and we would put money in them every month and take money out and write down how much we spent, and we did it for 35 years. 35 years. We tracked every penny. Dave Ramsey puts it this way: you got to live like nobody else now, so later on you can live like nobody else. He's right. And we're on the other side of living like that, like nobody else now. Because these financial principles work. It takes all the guessing out of your finances. Track your spending for you. Do it. Last couple of fill in the blanks. In finances, the opposite of lost isn't found. It is discovering where you are so you can get to where you want to be. To do this, you must know where your money is going. Tracking your finances allows you to discover where you are financially. It is a spiritual exercise. It really is, because you and I can't follow Christ as we should if we're financially lost. You will stay lost till you know where you are so you can move to where you want to be. You'll never regret it. It all belongs to God. We're not taking it with us, but He's left us here to manage it. Last fill in, you can never wholeheartedly follow your Savior if you're financially lost. Now, I want you to look at our next steps today at the end of your outline. Maybe today for the first time, would you say, I'm inviting God into my finances today. I've never really done that. I would encourage you to do that. And then will you take the challenge? Man, I hope I get all these connection cards back. I hope there's check after check after check that people say, I'm going to take the challenge and track all my expenses for the next 5 weeks. And then I want you to look inside your program. Just as we did with the relationship series back in August, and we had all those seminars and classes related to different aspects of relationships, we've got 5 things coming up for you financially to help you. Here they are. It's a green sheet. The first one is coming up on the 21st. And it's understanding wills and trusts, everything a family, every family needs one. If you are here today, you are married or you have kids and you don't have a trust or a will, you better be at this seminar. All right? You better be. You need one. You need one. All right? Look at the next one. The very next week, getting out of debt. Some of you are saying, I'm in knee deep. How do I get out? We've got a seminar for you, and it says TBA. I just got confirmation on our speakers on that. They're going to be working with you on that. Buying a home, what you need to know about finance. Some of you are thinking like, hey, I'm looking at refinances, buying a new home. What's that world out there? We've got a seminar for you. And then look at this last one on Sunday, November 11th, the basic different types of financial investing. If you've got your money, say, well, I've got it in a CD at the bank, you are losing money to inflation every year. That's the worst place in the world you could have your money, in all honesty, because you're losing money every year. You need to go to the seminar. And then this was a God thing. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, looking at some email, and this popped up on my thing. Dave Ramsey, we did this once before. They don't always offer this. They've offered it again. They're offering a 3-hour Smart Money live stream from San Antonio, Texas. A 3-hour seminar that usually costs you probably about $50 to go to. We're going to live stream it here in our church for free. It's going to be on Thursday night. We're going to probably have you in another room because we have worship. But this is a free event, except if you need child care. We do have to pay for our child care workers, so we charge you for that. Right. Fill these things out. Man, attend these seminars. All those seminars are during third worship service. Third worship service except the Dave Ramsey one. So you can come, hear the service, then go right to a seminar. It's going to be a great, great time if you take advantage of these things. Now, 2 things before I close. Actually, 1 thing, because I've already told you one of them. Next week is our big 30th celebration. 30 years old at New Hope. Wow! It's going to be a great day. You don't want to miss that. You're going to see pictures, hear stories, and go like, man, wow. It's going to be very, very cool. That is at 10:15, the second service. I'm still on this message series. This second part of this message series is going to be given 2 times. I'm giving it on Thursday night and 9 o'clock next Sunday morning. So I encourage you, you want to hear the second part of this message. It's about a parable. I'm going over it this week and going like, man, this is crazy. This is crazy information, and it's going to, I think, going to blow you away. I want you to be here for that. So come. You can come next Sunday. Come back here and just stay for the next service. We're going to have food here, all kinds of fun stuff on that. All good? All good. Let's pray. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you that your word is so practical to our everyday life. Thank you that you talk about money because you know we need it, God. Thank you so much for saying you don't want our money, but you want something for us. And I pray, God, these next 5 weeks, you would use our time together to capture our attention, to motivate us. And I pray even in some cases, God, make us uncomfortable. Thank you so much that we don't have to feel guilty for what you have blessed us with. Thank you for blessing our country and us as individuals. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you that here in America, we have the potential to have financial margin. And God, I pray as a church, you would help us to be great stewards of your resources as individuals and as a church family. And for anyone here today who is lost financially, God, would you help them get the traction that they need to get to the point, to the place where they can become the people that you have called each one of us to be. Father, would you show up in these next 5 weeks in our lives in a very, very, very powerful, a very personal way. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.